It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
It's the best day of the week. It's also the day of the week where people can't drive.
Oh, yeah.
That's a true fact, dude. Thursday is the worst driving day of the week.
Okay.
Best day of the week, worst driving day of the week. There was an accident on 5. I don't know the details. I hope everybody is okay. But I come in from the East Bay, so I take the River Road up to Twin Cities Road, and then I jump on 5 at Twin Cities Road. Mm-hmm. I don't know, 8 or 10 miles south of Elk Grove.
Okay.
And my GPS, so normally my decision point is, do I stay straight on 5 where the 50 junction is? Do I stay straight on I-5 and go? He's James, I'm Kyle, by the way. Jiffy Lube sponsors the show. We'll talk about sports, I swear. Do I stay straight on 5 and just jump on 80 there shy of Natomas? Or do I take 50? Almost never, by the way. Do I take 50 to take business 80 around? Through, you know, downtown or whatever. And today my GPS was like, nope, you're getting off at Consumnes River Boulevard in Elk Grove. That's how backed up traffic was.
Oh, that's not good.
It's like, you got to get off the freeway now. So okay. I took back roads all the way to Elk Grove.
Every time I hear you say I take the River Road, I literally envision you like pulling your car onto like a floating raft, and there's a guy with a big brim hat and a mm-hmm. long stick who just pushes you and your car.
Oh, so you've been there.
Down the river.
So you've gone on it.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah, yeah. Like, no, that's exactly what happens.
Like, you just float down the river.
It's like a 7-hour commute.
That's every time I'm like, the River Road. Oh, it sounds so romantic.
It is. Honestly, like, that's why the people always go, oh my God, you commute to, first of all, I love this job, so it's easy. It's easy to do the commute, but two, like driving it in the mornings, I do. I drive along the Sacramento River.
Oh, that's nice.
And the sun is coming up, and there's a little like not a dangerous level of fog, but just like that layer of fog across the fields. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
I don't get to take it in how I want because I'm focused on the road, obviously. But I get to, you know, take a little bit of a look around. I get to see what's in front of me. I know that it's beautiful. I got the radio on or some music or a podcast or whatever I got going on, and I cruise on in. Well, it's great. The drive-in is beautiful.
People always go, man, you live so far away from the arena. And it's like, yeah, but I just get to drive right up into the hills. As soon as I start seeing oak trees and pine trees and just getting away, like all the unnatural like trees that are mm-hmm. in Roseville that are not native to here that mm-hmm. they've just brought into the community because they grow fast.
Sure.
And they want to make, you know, the community look older than it is because some trees grow like mm-hmm. 6 feet a year once they're firmly planted and the natural trees here don't.
Mm-hmm.
So like I like living away from the city just a little bit up the hill. Like the snow isn't bad. If it does snow, it's there for like 4 hours and then it's gone. And, you know, like 1800 feet elevation, just a little above the smog line, everything
nice
else.
Drive.
Yeah, it is a nice little drive. Get an hour, 45 minutes to think, you know, about my day.
Soren Smith said he just got to work from Elk Grove and I-5 was completely clear. Okay, so it must not have been too terrible of an accident. But also, I'm driving through there at like 7:15.
Oh.
7:30. Yeah. So it's a little bit ago. But anyways, salute to everybody who commutes. We're really doing it, man. Cavs Thunder last night, as we dive into the sports talk portion of the program. I want to remind everybody tonight, by the way, college football playoff. The semifinal, Notre Dame, Penn State. Gavin from the wake-up call walking around in a Penn State t-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
He posted about Penn State games on Instagram. I was like, oh, you went to Penn State? And he's like, well, no. He's from Pennsylvania. A bunch of his friends went there. He's a big Penn State guy. Penn State, Notre Dame tonight. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock right here on ESPN 1320. That should be a very, very good game. I'm thinking it's going to be an old school type of football game. If you're into the like knockdown, drag out style of football, I think you're going to be really into Notre Dame. Penn State should be a good one. And again, that airs right here on ESPN 1320 at 4 o'clock. But the Cavs and Thunder played last night.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of playoff vibes, Possible finals preview?
Finals preview? Maybe. I don't know.
It at this point, the Thunder seem like the team that are going to come out of the West.
I agree 100%.
Like there's you know, we'll dive into where the Kings sit in the West, and Houston's having a good year, and I know Memphis is having a good year. I just don't, the Thunder don't have Chet Holmgren, who's one of their three best players, and they're cruising.
Yeah.
They're awesome. So they had their 15 game win streak snapped last night by the Cavaliers, who are 32-4.
It's crazy.
11 game winning. Win streak.
I know. Like, I heard someone say the other day, well, you know, they might need to figure out their three-point shooting a little bit. Like, they lead the league. They're shooting 40.1% from three. And they hoist, like, 42 of them a game. It's outrageous. Absolutely crazy. Everyone on their roster, like, the guys that you would expect to hit the threes are all shooting, like, 36%. Everybody else is, like, Isaac Okoro is shooting, like, 47% from three.
Just out of nowhere.
Yeah. Like, everybody on that team is shooting the three ball.
Isaac Okoro was a restricted free agent this offseason, and you and I both were like, man, that's a player the Kings should take a run at, except he can't shoot.
Yeah, it's always been the problem.
The spacing problem, and he's shooting 47% or whatever it is.
47.6%. Yeah, like every single... Man. Okay, so you just look at their top... Let's say their top 12. Their top 12, right? Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell, 41%. Evan Mobley, 40.4%. Darius Garland, 42.9%. Jared Allen hasn't taken a three, mm-hmm. but the next guy is Caris LeVert at 44.5, 35.7 for Max Strus. Again, he's one of those guys that you expect to shoot higher, 35.7. Dean mm-hmm. Wade, 38. Isaac Okoro, 47.6. George Niang, 38.6. Sam Merrill, again, you expect him to shoot better, 35.1%. You get all the way down. Ty Jerome, their 11th best three, their 11th most minutes played guy per game, 41.6 from three. And then Craig Porter Jr. comes in at 45.5. Their top 12 guys, two of them are struggling. They're shooting 35%.
Jeez.
And the Kings would love to have this problem.
Man.
The whole team shoots.
Can you get one of those guys?
Yeah.
Real quick, before we continue talking Cavs Thunder, the updated fan voting for the Western Conference All-Star team is in. Again, this is not the final fan vote. Fan vote counts for 50%. Players and coaches each count for 25%, I believe is how the math works.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic still leading the Western front court and all voters with 2.2 million votes. Kevin Durant, number two. LeBron James, number three. Wemby, four. Anthony Davis, five. Alperen Şengün, 6. Jalen Williams from Oklahoma City at 7. Andrew Wiggins, of course, at number 8. Domantas Sabonis at number 9. Ahead of Jaren Jackson Jr., who rounds out the top 10 in the front court. At guard, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, number 1. Steph Curry, number 2. Luka Doncic, number 3. Kyrie Irving, number 4. Anthony Edwards is 5. 6 through 10, James Harden, Ja Morant, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, and Norman Powell.
Hmm.
All right.
It's interesting. Like if the Kings can win, can keep this going, if they can get 5 or 6 games under over 500 by the week or two before All-Star Week,
mm-hmm.
I think Fox has a shot. And I also think, you know, Domantas Sabonis always has a shot just because he's one of the best basketball players statistically in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Fox, again, we brought this up the other day. Fox is 5th in the league in scoring and 3rd in the Western Conference in scoring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that matters. Scoring matters, but wins also matter. So he's got to figure out a way to move up, get his team to move up the ranks.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where the coaches and players put those guys.
Yeah.
Because you might just be in a spot you might just be in a spot with a fan vote where it's just really tough to get into the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
They should both, because the coaches pick the fan vote only counts for starters, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So the coach, I don't know.
It's interesting because, you know, a lot of players, the Western Conference is trimmed down a bit. So like, you know, Klay Thompson was an all-star a bunch of times. Paul George was an all-star a bunch of times. They've, well, I guess Klay is still in the West, but Paul George is no longer in the West. And, right. and you've seen some other players that are, you know, moving on from the Western Conference. So I think it does open a door, but I just don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, here's the deal, man. I know it matters, and I know, and maybe the All-Star game will be different now that they're doing the different format, and maybe it'll mean more. But as long as fan voting is part of it, I just don't, I have a really hard time, I don't want to say caring,
yeah,
but putting a lot of stock into it. De'Aaron Fox is not the eighth best guard in the NBA, or I'm sorry, in the West.
Yeah.
He's just not.
No.
So I don't know, man.
Well, that and you
I'm
know,
just not
like,
gonna get. I'm not. If they don't get in to the All-Star game, like it sucks for them, and I hope they do. I would like them to get there, Domas and Fox. But if they don't, I'm not gonna view it as some catastrophe because that's just what this is at this point. It's 75% a popularity contest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like so, all right, you didn't make it. That just means you didn't reach the threshold of popularity that you needed to be. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting, though.
Maybe I'm naive here, but.
Because the Kings are going to be way more concerned about All-NBA when it comes to Fox.
Yeah,
if he gets All-NBA in Sacramento, there's a good chance that he is going to sign his extension. Whether he forces his way out after that extension mm-hmm. would be another question, but there's a good chance that he does sign an extension. And I would say one of the interesting things right now, the Dallas Mavericks on the season have played 37 games.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Doncic has only played 22 games.
Yeah, there's going to be a bunch of dudes who don't make All-NBA because of games played.
Yeah, and so you only get, 17 games missed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Luka's almost ineligible for All-NBA, and he holds down one of the top spots every single year.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the first, he's a first team All-NBA guy without any question. And so you're starting to wonder, like, is there a possibility for Fox here in the Western Conference? To be All-NBA, there are players who are falling off. If he is in the top five in scoring mm-hmm. at the end of the year, and if the team can be a playoff team, I don't see why he wouldn't be All-NBA.
I get the theory behind the NBA putting contractual consequences on all NBA teams.
Mm-hmm.
Like I understand the logic behind it, but it really sucks that we're watching for this, not because it's like, man, De'Aaron Fox deserves this honor. He should get this honor or whatever player it is. For us, the relevant story is De'Aaron Fox. So we'll say De'Aaron.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox should get this honor as an all NBA guy because those all NBA teams matter. Da, da, da. Like Bill Simmons always says, it's a snapshot of the season. It tells you who are the 15 best players in that season, and it gives you a portal into that year. Just a quick look.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to watch it and pay attention to it, not for the basketball, not because, wow, De'Aaron Fox is playing really well. He earns this. And let's take a look at some of the other guards in the West and some of the other players in the West because it's positionless now. So let's take a look at some of the other players in the West. And does he really stack up? And, oh, man, we're watching. We have to watch because of the contractual aspect of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is going to cost him and/or the Kings money.
Well, it could.
That sucks.
It could be the difference between a player staying and a player like asking out.
Yeah.
Like straight up.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'm not going to get my money there, so I'm
out.
Free to go anywhere.
Yeah. And yeah. And I know this is not new. This is not a Kyle Madsen original take here. This is just drafting off of the general gripe with this concept.
Uh-huh.
Media just get to vote on this?
That's always been the problem. I've told you, Scott Howard Cooper had such a huge issue with this when he was,
insane.
Writing for NBA.com.
So let's go to this world real quick. De'Aaron Fox makes all NBA. He can get his Supermax extension. He signs it with the Kings, and that's what it is, and he stays mm-hmm. there and whatever. He doesn't make all NBA, and he goes, well, this is dumb. If I'm not getting my Supermax, then I'd rather go elsewhere. That determination, the determination of the Kings franchise, the direction of the Kings franchise is based on the votes of people who may or may not watch Sacramento Kings basketball?
Oh yeah.
If you're gonna do this, if you're gonna make this, if you're gonna put this much of a
emphasis. Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. I was gonna say impetus, but that wasn't the word I was looking for. Emphasis on all NBA, where you could change the direction of a player's career / life and a team's trajectory and direction.
Uh-huh.
Then you need to have a voting body that is in the vein of, not that the college football playoff is perfect, but you get the concept of, like, this body of 12 people, their sole responsibility is to watch every game and vote for all NBA teams. That is it. They get paid to, they come into work and they watch games. And then whatever they don't catch live, they watch the next day. Like, that has to be a thing that the NBA does and pays people to do if you're going to have this many consequences on all NBA teams.
No, I'm with you. I think it's difficult for, like, when we're talking about, like, a college BCS, you know, whatever. Like,
mm-hmm.
because there's only, like, you're only looking at 12 games. And then you need to see strength of schedule, so you'll watch some of their, you mm-hmm. know, some of the other mm-hmm. games that they're playing. And then you're looking at, like, you know, let's say 15 teams or 25 teams. Mm-hmm. So there, it starts to grow.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the NBA, there's so many games. Like, how do you know,
sure.
how do you watch every single game? How do you get a feel for that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I get that, like, local media would have some sort of say, that national media would mm-hmm. have some sort of say. I do believe that it's way too skewed to national media. There are, like, way too many people at ESPN who get votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guys that are talking heads that do not watch nearly enough basketball mm-hmm. in general, let alone, you know, teams like Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know how to fix it, but I do know that there's, like, it's a huge problem that someone who's supposed to be impartial as a media member mm-hmm. could have a say in whether you make, you know, $65 million in year four of your contract mm-hmm. or, like, 53.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge disparity
yeah.
in, like, how much money you can, yeah. you're affecting these people. And so I don't know what the answer is. I just know that, you know, that the league probably does need to figure out some way to tighten it up. And, you know, again, like, most of the votes at this point,
mm-hmm.
they're coming from two outlets. They're coming from the New York Times / The Athletic and ESPN, like, most of it.
Right.
Because that's who has on the ground beat writers in every city or in a lot of cities, or mm-hmm. it's who covers the league on a whole.
So this is, so there's two really interesting things in the Chatty House. Chatty House is at youtube.com/ESPN1320. Please go ahead and tap in there, or you can tap in on the Elk Grove Kia talk line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. If you would like to join the program, we'd love to hear from you. So Uncle Looney says the all NBA teams are usually very solid. I agree. I don't think that there's typically, like, an egregious, wow, that guy was on the all NBA team and he shouldn't have been.
Yeah.
Problem is, let's say De'Aaron Fox doesn't make the All-NBA team this year. And you just kind of look and you go, well, who are you taking off? It's like, well, there's 15 deserving guys. And that's my problem with this. The NBA tried to make it, I guess, equitable, or tried to quantify the success of a player and how much money they should be making via the All-NBA team. But that leaves out the All-NBA caliber players who are not on the All-NBA team.
Of course.
And that's what sucks about this.
Well, and then you tie in the 17 games missed. Like, add that element into it, because now, mm-hmm. like, something that you can't control, an injury, mm-hmm. something you can't control. Let's just, like, play double. Like, what if De'Aaron Fox would have not landed on his right glute,
mm-hmm.
but landed on his right wrist, or what it looked like when he fell on his right shoulder?
Mm-hmm.
What if he would have snapped his collarbone and he's out 6 to 8 weeks? Now, he has there's nothing he could have done,
mm-hmm.
and it could be the difference between him making, you know, again, not only him, but whether he makes,
right.
you know, X amount of dollars in his contract extension,
right.
or whether he even wants to be in a city anymore because mm-hmm. he's not getting his max money,
right.
because, of course, you know, it's tied to, like, big markets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, could have very easily happened that way. And, like, he still has another 45 games that he could get injured, and, mm-hmm. and you just never know. And so it's really interesting how they tie all these things together into yeah. one nice little bow and say, hey, you're eligible for 35% of the salary cap, or you're only eligible for 25%, or you're eligible for 30%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very strange how it is all tied to the contractual stuff and the injury stuff, and then a popularity contest.
Yeah. And then Sass in the chat says, do fans think Fox deserves a Supermax? I think that's a different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact of the matter is, if he was eligible, the Kings would give it to him.
Well, yeah, I mean,
whether you think he deserves it or not is a completely separate conversation we can definitely have.
Yeah.
But right now, it's just the functionality of it. It's the, let's say De'Aaron Fox definitely 100%, it was consensus across the board that he was a Supermax player. But for some reason, in the All-NBA voting, he was 16th instead of 15th.
Oh, yeah. And that's happened.
Yeah.
Like, he's barely missed All-NBA.
Right. So, because of this kind of weird voting process,
yep,
and because of the fact the league capped this at 15 players instead of 18 or 20,
mm-hmm.
De'Aaron Fox and the entire trajectory of his life and career in the Kings organizational timeline gets skewed.
Yep.
It's just, I don't like it. I don't like that there's this much riding on something that could just be, let's see. Oh God, my all NBA ballot. Shoot. Okay. Let's see. I've been super busy. Let me just go on. Okay. Let me see. Let me sort by PER. All right. Well, let's see. We know Tatum, Giannis. We know who these guys are on. Okay. Now let me go. Okay. Well, Steph Curry's got to be on there. So we're going to put Steph on there. I don't know how many people do that, but I'm guessing it's more than one.
Oh yeah. There's some people who like forget to turn in their ballot.
Yeah.
You know, and again, like, look at how much it is riding on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know we
real quick.
Yeah.
How much is riding on it is the point of all this. We're using De'Aaron Fox because we're here in Sacramento.
Yeah.
And that's a direct example we can use. But this is any player on any team. Go on.
Yeah. I would even say, like, look, I think, you know, that when you look at like what Tim Bontemps does, he does the, what does he call it? The ESPN.
Straw poll?
The straw poll, mm-hmm. right? That's probably way more accurate and a way better indicator.
That's a good point.
Because in all, like, Tim reaches out to people in every city.
Yeah.
He knows a ton of people. I think he has 100 people roughly that are part of the straw poll, and they're all NBA people, people like myself that cover an NBA team, mm-hmm. that are there all, you know, as much as possible to see every single game,
mm-hmm.
and that are in it. Like, and so you're judging from, like, really basketball people,
mm-hmm.
I think it's probably like one of the most accurate ways to do this. And I don't know that, you know, you can't send out the vote to that many people, but I certainly think that having a huge, huge percentage of your votes coming from these very specific areas where, again, like The Athletic, we just point out, The Athletic doesn't have a beat writer in Sacramento anymore. They haven't since Jason Jones moved to a different part of their company.
Salute to Jason Jones.
And you know, they had Hunter here last year, but Hunter moved to Detroit, and he's covering the Pistons. So, like, how fair is it that a guy like Hunter might get a vote in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
who watches, because he covers the Pistons all the time, and can't, I mean, why am I drawing a blank on their star player? The Pistons. Your Pistons.
Oh, my Pistons.
Yeah.
No, I can't think of Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, Cade Cunningham. There we go. Yeah, so, like, maybe when he's watching every day, maybe he gets a vote and, like, oh, I'm giving Cade Cunningham my vote.
Yeah.
For All-NBA. That makes sense. Or, right?
Or this is what happens to me a lot. This is the Bam Adebayo thing we were talking about yesterday. Bam Adebayo is averaging, like, 19... 12 and 7 or whatever he's averaging. He's having a great year. He's going to be all defense again. But I watch the one game he's here in Sacramento, and I go, meh, he was all right.
Yep, got and destroyed.
Yeah. So if you're a beat writer, you see a player twice or maybe four times, and if that player just happens to struggle against the team you see, you're going to be like, I'm not buying it.
Maybe they're injured. Maybe they played on a back-to-back.
Yeah.
Maybe, that, like, you're totally right. You see the Eastern Conference teams one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really tough to gauge, like, Eastern Conference, like, unless you're watching every, like, on, you know, NBA TV or you're, you know, downloading all the games and you're watching every single game or at least parts of games.
That's what I'm saying. The NBA needs a committee that's just dedicated to that.
No, I would agree.
And here's the other thing you could do. And then I want to run through, speaking of the East, I got to talk about my underdog lineup from last night. You could just do all conference.
Oh.
Because then you're getting 15 players from each conference. And you're getting more like...
maybe if you did 10 players from each conference.
Focused voting.
Yeah. 10 players from each conference and then did a 20 man all NBA team.
Yeah.
And then you could even like distribute the NBA all NBA team,
mm-hmm.
intertwine the two lists.
Sure.
But for second, third,
fourth. Gotta get the contract stuff out of there though. I don't think they will, because that's the best way they can kind of empirically rank players.
Well, it's also the best way that they can force players to play.
Mm-hmm. Man. Tough.
Yeah.
We'll get into some of the NBA action last night. Cavs Thunder was awesome. My Detroit Pistons continue rolling. They are now a game over 500, 8 games shy of hitting their season over, by the way. But I stuck in the Eastern Conference last night with Underdog, because Underdog Pick'em is my single favorite way to watch sports. It allows me to get dialed in to Bulls Pacers, a game I wouldn't have watched otherwise, and I was locked in and having a ton of fun watching it last night. Underdog is available here to play in California. It's the best place to cash in on all your takes during the NFL playoffs and, of course, during the NBA season. So last night, my lineup, I had Jordan Poole. So it's easy. You pick two or more players.
Mm-hmm.
You pick higher or lower on their stats. I had Jordan Poole higher than 19.5 points. He didn't play. So Jordan Poole didn't play. So the good thing about Underdog, though, is that player just gets removed from your lineup. You don't get penalized because the player didn't play. So I ended up having a three-player lineup. Kobe White, higher than 19.5 points. He had 19 points with like 7.5 minutes to go, and they pulled him out of the game.
Oh.
When it was like 14 points with 3.5 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
That's doable in the NBA, and the Bulls waved the white flag.
Oh, ridiculous.
Just brutal. So Kobe White, I did not hit that one, as the Bulls went on to lose to the Pacers, 129-113. Tyrese Halliburton came through for me, though. I had lower than 24.5 points. He had 16, obviously. Uh-huh. That's light work. And then Jared Allen, I had higher than half a double-double. Easy work for Jared Allen and the Cavs against the Oklahoma City Thunder. 25 points and 12 rebounds for the Cavaliers' big man. I went 2 out of 3. And because of the flex play option, I got a little money back.
There we go.
Yeah. Shout out to Underdog, and I'd love for you to play along. Download the app, sign up with promo code KYLEM, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code KYLEM. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. We're going to step aside. We have takeaways from 49ers exit pressers yesterday. We're going to take a look at the Western standings, because the Kings are right there, but what exactly does that mean? And I'm going to go full optimist today. I'm going to give you a ton of reasons why we should be optimistic about the Kings through this 5-game winning streak. I don't think it's a flash in the pan, and I think they're in a really good spot in the West, and we'll talk about why coming up next. That's James. I'm Kyle. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320, and it's Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, question of the day. Did the Mighty Ducks movies age well? 916-909-1320. It's the Oak Grove Kia talk line. I just haven't watched them since I was a kid, and I haven't revisited them because in my brain, they're the kind of movie that was only good because I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
And it actually wasn't that good.
I don't know. I can tell you, like, the boys and I have watched Sandlot, like, a bunch when they were young.
Aged great.
It did. It like, aged spectacular.
Still plays.
Yeah.
Still plays, for sure. Superbad, another movie that still plays.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of those movies that, like, that comedy run in that kind of Will Ferrell vein of, like, from 2006 to 2009 or 10, they all kind of had that same college humor type of vibe.
Yeah.
And I always felt like, man, at some point, I'm going to outgrow these. At some point, I'm not going to like them anymore. And I still love them. But there's some of them that I show to people where they watch it for the first time and they're like, nope, don't find this funny at all.
Oh, really?
And that's where it's like the kind of nostalgia for me. Or the Yes-stalgia.
Oh,
I'm really trying to make Yes-stalgia a thing. Yes-stalgia is like a good memory. nostalgia is like a bad, like this conjures up bad vibes for me. Like if you had a bad experience in high school, maybe driving by your high school and you're like, ugh, that's nostalgia. If you had a great time in high school, you drive by your high school, like, oh man, hey, I had a class right there. Oh man, I love my teacher or whatever.
Mm.
That's yesstalgia.
Shams just put out there that they have it confirmed now that J.J. Redick lost his home in the fires.
Oh.
Southern California.
Damn, man. Come on.
Absolutely horrible. What's going on down there?
Yeah, thoughts with, I know our guy Chris Ochoa in the Chatty House lives down in Oxnard. He said the smoke's really bad.
Oh, yeah.
If we happen to have anybody who listens and lives down there or has family down there, our thoughts are certainly with you.
Yeah.
If there's anything we can do. Any way we can get the word out for place to go, places to donate, please let us know.
Yeah, I know Luke Lauk said his brother lost his house.
Yeah. Just devastating.
Yeah, the devastation is crazy. It's absolutely crazy. The Lakers and Hornets game has officially been postponed.
Yeah. And then it sounds like the Rams and Vikings game might get played down in Arizona.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, that's on the table. I don't know that they're there yet, but it sounded like last night the winds died down enough that they were able to get planes up in the air to dump water, which I think helped the Hollywood fire.
Yeah.
But the fact that last night you're watching this devastation and then, oh, another one just started.
Yeah, they said embers carried 3 miles away and started another fire. Yeah.
Just brutal, man. Yeah, obviously, as we talk about sports and sports movies and commutes, we're in the back of our mind is are the people affected by the fires down in Southern California. Absolutely.
Yep.
And of course with Luke Lauk's family, as you said, his brother lost his home. That's awful. It's about as bad as it gets, man.
Yeah.
Anyways. So we will move forward.
Yeah.
And again, if there's anything we can do, hit us up at the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. Putting sports movies aside for a moment, I want to get back into this Kings and Thunder, or excuse me, Cavs Thunder game last night. Incredible, incredible basketball. Cleveland won 129-122. And I don't, through most of the first part of the season, I was in the mode of Boston's the team in the East.
Okay.
I know the Knicks are playing better, but Milwaukee's playing better. The Cavs have been really good, but I kept waiting for the Cavs to come back down to earth. And I don't think they're gonna. 32-4?
Oh man, they're good.
They're one of six teams to be 32-4 or better through 36 games in NBA history. One of them was the 73-win Warriors. The 96 Bulls and the 97 Bulls are both on that list. I think it's the 81 76ers on the list.
I'll say this. My one concern with them
mm-hmm.
is that in year one, because this really is year one for them. Last year, they had a good year. Would they finish fourth?
Fourth, because they had the 4-5 with...
With
the Magic.
But the problem is this year, you're going to start falling in love with the idea of that 72, of hitting 70 or 68 wins. You're going to keep pushing and pushing and pushing mm-hmm. and try to do something that hasn't been done.
Sure.
And that's going to end up costing you in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Warriors learned that the hard way, and they were a team that had already won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
This is not that, I think that this is a team that's building. It's going to be really good. They're going to be really good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They, of course, have all the length and athleticism that we always talk about. They are one of the longest teams that you're going to find in the NBA. But at the same time, it's early in their progression. They are still young. They are going to need a couple of years to build this thing up to a championship contender. So I agree they could be there. They could get there this year. They could win it all this year. Mm-hmm. But I also know that there is usually steps mm-hmm. that you take to get to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel more comfortable with sort of the team that OKC is
sure.
versus the team that they are at this point. But again...
Why is that?
Because I think OKC is just a little bit more mature as far as a team. And they've been building this, I don't want to say a little bit longer because they're probably on the same sort of path.
That's, yeah, I feel like timeline-wise, they're about the same.
Yeah, but I think OKC took their big leap last year to where you were like, okay, this is one of the best teams in the NBA, mm-hmm. and they just don't have the, you know, the maturity to, mm-hmm. to get to an NBA championship type deal. Sure. I think they do now, and even mm-hmm. 1 year can do that. But I'd also say that, like I wouldn't be surprised if this is who we see in the finals. Like, not at all. And maybe I'm crazy, but Oklahoma won 57 games last year and Cleveland won 48, you know, so that's what I kind of mean. They feel like OKC is just a year ahead in their progression, and we'll have to see how it all plays out. But again, I would just have a little bit more faith in a 7-game series with OKC.
Someone pointed this out on Twitter last night. The Cavs are 32-4 overall. They had a 5-game stretch in mid to late November, November 19th through the 29th, where they went 2-3. They lost to Boston. They beat the Pelicans. They beat the Raptors, then lost to the Hawks twice.
Mm-hmm.
They are 30-1 outside of that stretch. That's insane. And that's why it's like 32-4, fine. You can be the finals favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, maybe I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're out in the second round because of everything you just said. It's their second trip to the playoffs, and Kenny Atkinson was really good in the regular season, but man, over a 7-game series, he didn't quite have enough, and some team played Jared Allen off the floor or whatever. I don't know. Pick whatever happened.
Yeah.
Who was our guy who we were just talking about? Isaac Okoro gets into the playoffs and looks like he did his first 3 years where he can't hit water from a boat. Like, okay, maybe that happens. But if you're 32-4, I'm just going to, you know what, tip of the hat. And I'm going to feel great about it.
Yeah.
And if they lose in the second round, oh, okay. Or if they, I mean, maybe they lose 8 in a row here and they come crashing back down to earth and they're just like a normal good team instead of world beaters. But man, that game was awesome last night. It did not disappoint. Two teams on pace for better than 70 wins.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I would love to see it.
And then there's the Celtics, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Who are just, that's the one, putting the Cavs aside for a minute.
Of course.
The thing with Boston, and one of the reasons, I mean, I say I'm going to put the Cavs as the favorite. It's not because I think Boston stinks. Boston's also excellent and coasting.
Oh, they are.
Boston is very much not putting pedal to the metal in the regular season.
No, they're the Golden State Warriors the year after they won 73.
Mm-hmm.
They're the team that knows what it takes to get to the NBA championship and you know, to win one.
Mm-hmm.
They're that team now. And rightfully so, they're going to coast in the regular season. And I mean, that's if you're a Sacramento Kings fan, that's what you're hoping for tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Boston can beat you on when they have like their B game, not an A game. They can still, you know, crush you.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Kings are this team that's building something different and sort of, you know, they're fighting and they're playing on vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe you catch a team that isn't 100% prepared to take on a team that's fully engaged.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe the Boston Celtics aren't 100%. They are beatable this year, maybe more than they have been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
They still are a horrific matchup team against the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those teams where, you know, again, I would rather
Boston's play a horrific matchup for everyone.
No, they are.
Yeah.
But anyways, at this point, I still think, like, if you were choosing who the Kings, you'd rather have the Kings play on Friday night, I think I would still choose to play the Cavs over the Celtics. Maybe I'm crazy, but
let me rephrase that, because I think I think you're more liable to catch Boston napping than Cleveland.
No, I agree.
But so I'm going to say if let's put the Kings in the finals. I said I was going to be optimistic. Let's just do it.
Okay.
I don't necessarily think they're going to make the finals, but let's just go just hypothetically for a moment. Let's just put them there. I think I would rather them probably play Cleveland than Boston, to your point. But in a 1-game sample right now, I think Boston is the team you're more liable to catch. Like, all right, hey, Jaylen Brown's going to be out tonight. Man, you know what? Jason Tatum's playing 75% and
yeah.
Derek White missed a couple shots, and all of a sudden, you're up 112 to 101 with 3 minutes left.
Yep. No, I agree.
Cleveland,
with you.
I think Cleveland is gunning for 73 wins.
Yeah, I think Cleveland doesn't know like to back off and like just get there, get you know save something for the postseason.
It's like when that first race in Fast and the Furious, when oh my gosh, the
Paul
actor
Walker.
Paul Walker, thank you. When he hits his NOS too early.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vin Diesel ends up winning the race. He's like, almost had you. He's like, you almost had me.
Like, not really. You
yeah,
didn't almost
that's
have me.
Yeah. Shout out to Fast and Furious. Boston's still on pace to win 60.
Yeah, I mean, Boston's incredible, and like again, if I'm choosing a winner of the NBA Finals right now, it's the Boston Celtics.
Yeah,
but we'll have to wait and see. I mean, it's a long season and everything else.
Shout out to the Chatty House for completing the scene for me. Before we get into my Pistons, the Milwaukee Bucks and San Antonio Spurs played last night.
Mm.
The Bucks ended up winning.
Okay,
but. As with all things Victor Wembanyama, he did a couple of things last night that were just outrageous. Here's what he did in the first quarter. The call via ESPN, I'll describe it for those of you listening on the radio. For those of you watching on the stream who have not seen this play yet, enjoy. Enjoy.
Pop off that. Lillard off the mark with the three. Here's Wembanyama. That one-legged three ball. We said that he was unique. There's
Mark Jones on the broadcast.
It's almost like he went into a Euro step, slow motion Euro step for the three ball.
So he gets a bounce pass above the break on the right side, way outside
29
the
feet
line.
Out. 29, but that would be my guess.
Yeah, he stops, pump fakes, gets the flyby, one dribble in, and then a one-footed runner from three, butter.
Yeah, he basically did the Dirk one-legged shot, but from a foot behind the three-point line.
Look, when Steph Curry does this, it's like, oh, man, classic Steph. When 7'14" Victor Wembanyama does this, it's like, uh-oh.
The NBA, you have a problem.
What do you do about this? Okay, so he does that, all right, which was just bananas to begin with. Now let me get set up here. Hang on. This is why the sooner we get Joe in here, the better. Okay, so here's what he did later in the game. This is just the crowd sound. So sorry, everybody on the radio. Again, we will try and describe the play for you as Victor Wembanyama makes one of the most ridiculous shots I've ever seen in my life. Oh, I'm not sharing it. Here we go. Hang on. This is why we need a producer.
Yep.
Producer. Everybody... write your senator and tell us we need a producer. Here we go.
Pump fake up and under.
What do you do? Pump fake on Brooke Lopez. Drive by. Terrible defense by Brooke Lopez here, by the way. Like, what is that? What are we doing? What, Brooke, what is this?
Well, when the dude starts hitting one-legged three-point shots, you have to get out on him, but that's not a good closeout.
That's a poor closeout, right?
Yeah.
That's a half-ass closeout. Like, I have no chance of contesting this, but I just need to put on film that I closed out.
Yeah.
So, puts it on the deck. Here comes Giannis, help side defense. And that's Giannis Antetokounmpo. One of the two best defenders in the league?
Yes, and one of the, like, craziest, like, his wingspan is so incredibly wild.
So, Wembanyama goes up to dunk on him. Giannis meets him, and then Wembanyama goes back underneath, circles it back around, and throws it straight up in the air, and has the arm length, because they're outside of the key right now, has the arm length to get that ball up under Giannis and away from his block, by the way.
Absolutely incredible.
And then into the air, off the glass, will spin, and in.
That's like one of those shots that the guy, the old school dude at the YMCA hits mm-hmm. on you or at the gym.
Yeah.
Like he hits some, you're like, how did you hit that? Like I had you shut down. How did you hit that? Spin, flips it up, butter. Just incredible.
I know people are probably sick of hearing about Victor Wembanyama, but the reason it's not going away is because he's getting better.
Well, and is he 21 yet?
I think he's 21.
Can he walk into a bar? Because I don't think he can walk into a bar.
Well, he's got a duck. But yeah, he can walk into the bar. He is 21 as of 5 days ago.
5 days ago, he just turned 21.
Salute to Victor Wembanyama. I hope he had a great 21st birthday. Although that's the other thing about him, is he's a psychopath. So he probably didn't even go out on his 21st birthday because he's like, no, I'm in season.
No.
We're trying to make the playoffs.
So as of right now, he's averaging 25.1 points, 10.8 rebounds, 3.8 assists, 4 blocks and a steal per game. 4 blocks. He leads the NBA. Last year, he averaged 3.6. He's up that to 4 blocks per game.
Whatever, man.
Shooting 35.4% from 3, Kyle, on 9.3 attempts per game. A 7'3", 7'4" dude is shooting 9.3 three-point attempts per game.
Sure.
Absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Sure, man.
I don't even know what to say.
Insane. So that happened last night. But anyways, the Bucks won. Giannis, there was a possession late where Giannis clamped Wembanyama.
Oh, yeah.
They just one-on-one from the perimeter, and Wemby had nothing. But it's one of those things. It's like the Doug Christie, Kobe Bryant story. I have no doubt that Giannis or Wemby is going to take that matchup with Giannis where he got clamped. He's going to watch the hell out of it and figure out what he has to do to beat Giannis next time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think he's probably the only player in the league who can just straight up defend Wemby.
Maybe. But maybe Evan Mobley? I don't even know. I don't even know he can do that. And I don't think Evan Mobley can. Like, there's just something different about Wembanyama. And again, like, I don't know how you deal with what he's going to look like in 2 years, what he's going to look like in 3 years,
yeah.
What is he going to look like in 2031 when the San Antonio Spurs have a pick swap with the Sacramento Kings? Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
That's tough. My Pistons, by the way, I mentioned they beat Brooklyn 113-98 last night. If you missed the bit, before the year, I thought the Pistons would hit their over pretty handily. I think it was 26.5. They're at 19 wins already. They're 19-18. There's an interesting thing, though, that I think might matter for the Kings with this.
Mm-hmm.
As we try and loop Sacramento into the conversation. Sacramento hasn't played since Monday, and they don't play till tomorrow.
Yeah.
Detroit was a team that you and I both looked at before the year. And when, man, they look like they're accumulating talent to trade.
Yep.
A guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. They have a glut of front court guys. That's what they did with Bojan Bogdanovic last year.
Mm-hmm.
They traded him to the Knicks for they get a first for him?
Maybe.
The
Knicks had a lot of firsts.
Yeah, so it looked like, oh, this is what the Pistons are gearing up for. They'll get their young guys some burn. They'll get some experience with these veterans,
uh-huh.
And then when they're way out of it by the deadline, they'll trade these veterans. They'll accumulate more picks and they'll continue their build.
Yeah. So Beasley,
Beasley's the other one. Yeah.
Tobias Harris and Hardaway. Yep. You're thinking, oh yeah, they're just collecting these guys and then they're going to get assets for them at the deadline.
But now suddenly they're 19-18. They're eighth in the East. They're playing really well without Jaden Ivey, who broke his leg, horrific injury.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of wonder if Detroit is going to come off the table as a seller at the deadline, where now there's just going to be fewer players out and available, and it just makes things more difficult when Sacramento is trying to execute a trade.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think that they're probably no longer a seller, that they're a buyer, and it's going to make... And that's why, like, why I think Brooklyn already started working, because they're like... We're like one of the few sellers at this point. Let's just go ahead and start moving guys because mm-hmm. they don't want to win a bunch of games.
Mm-hmm.
But that just means that, like, the supply and demand, like, there's going to be fewer players available.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody on Washington is going to be available.
Yeah.
Like, there are going to be players that are available. There are players like Brandon Ingram that just circumstance makes him available because they're going to lose him for nothing this summer. Or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll be able to lock him up to a long-term deal this summer. But the potential to lose him for nothing is there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think this is a market where, you know, if there was a way to make a deal as early as possible, you should do it. Because I think the price is going to go up for a lot of these teams.
How many teams do we think are realistically in the Cooper Flagg race here? Washington, for sure. They have 6 wins. They lost again last night by 6. They have still yet to lose a game by 1 possession this year.
Oh.
I count 1 possession as 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
I don't count it as four. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So the four is their lowest margin of victory this year.
Only at plays when you're going up against the Kings. Four point play. Make it rain.
They have six wins. The Pelicans with seven. Hornets and Raptors both with eight. Jazz with nine. And then there's Brooklyn and the Pacers with 13.
I think there are seven teams that are in the Cooper flag chase. It's Brooklyn, Charlotte, Toronto, Washington, Portland, Utah, and the Pelicans.
Yeah, all 13 or fewer wins.
Yeah. And I haven't looked to make sure all of those teams have their picks. I'm assuming all of those teams have their picks. The only one I would be like maybe doesn't have a pick is, you know, you worry about Brooklyn not having their pick because of past mistakes and then the Pelicans, but I think they all have their picks. Yeah. This is a really...
sorry about that, bad timing by me.
There's a bunch of bad teams at the bottom of the standings. And, you know, like in the West, there's only three teams that are super horrific.
Mm-hmm.
And Phoenix is falling into that. Although Phoenix, they, again, are a team without picks. They can't trade
Phoenix
anything.
Is hosed, dude.
Yeah, except for 2031.
I get why they wanted to go get Kevin Durant. He's Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. You went to the finals. You had a really good young core. I don't understand blowing that up for team building foundation that doesn't work anymore.
No, I get you. That's always a tough thing, man. You've got to, we talked about it with Steph yesterday, the like mm-hmm. balancing team building with aging stars and young players and, you know, guys in their middle age. NBA yeah. players. It's very difficult.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep talking trade market. We've got 49ers exit pressers from yesterday. Some interesting news coming out with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both talking yesterday. And we just looked at the bottom of the West standings. The Kings are climbing. Mm-hmm. How high can they climb and is what they're doing sustainable? We'll dive into all that in the second hour. He's James. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.